Let's look in Exodus chapter 2. And I'm going to read in verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. We'll do that. 7, 8, 9, and 10. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, this is Exodus chapter 2. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water. I drew him out of the water." As I said, I'm going to preach to you on the simple topic of tears, words, and the heart. And I believe the Lord's going to help us. And we've prayed. But one more time, I'm just going to ask you, just because I feel it, just ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Lord, we ask it. We believe it. We thank you for it. We need you, God. We cannot do any of this, God. We need your help. We can't do it without you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can't get very far in the Bible without finding a story. And oftentimes it's easy preaching from some of the men because we as men glean and liken unto the men. So sometimes it's a little unfair. To be honest with you, we could find character after character in the Word of God that was a female, that was a woman, that if I can say it this way, the great men of the Bible are only there because of the great women of the Bible. Let me just go ahead and say it this way. The great men of this church are only there because of the great women of the church. My mom was a little unfair to herself up here during our panel. And again, if you missed that, you missed a fun time and a great, great challenge in just getting to peek into the way that each of these wonderful mothers parent. And I honestly, if you were here, you could probably tell how I felt a little bit out of place. Maybe you're like, "No, you look like you fit in." That concerns me. But Chuck and I had a little laugh about that in between the services. But I look in the scripture and I think, as I was mentioning, let me pause. My mother, growing up, when we had need of an answer, and you all, many of you know this, but we needed something to change in our lives. We needed an answer, and also we were building a building. And my parents have always just done whatever they've needed to do to make it all work. We've always just figured it out, and God's blessed. And my mom took a job, and she would go an hour every day, 6 days a week, to Texarkana, and she'd work not 9 to 5. She worked from open to close at the music store, and she, to this day, is a great salesman, just so you know. Great salesman. She could have done well in the secular world selling anything she wanted to. But she did sell pianos, and she didn't sell pianos to make money. She sold pianos to bring joy to people's lives. And many people would do that. They would come back and say, "I still love my piano." They'll see her even today in passing at times, people that maybe bought one that's still going and still doing strong or doing well. And they'll say, "I thank you," but there was something about it. I used to watch it. I would go every Saturday for the most part, and I'd go to Texarkana Mall, and we would usually, and this is the part that I always laugh about, because she'd say, "Hey, go get me some Chick-fil." She never knew the A was in the middle. On the end, not the middle. And to this day, I think every once in a while she still calls it Chick-fil, not Chick-fil-A. But that was the early days of Chick-fil, before it grew up and got a name change and became the Lord's Chicken. And but I would go and I would watch, and she would, you'd have people come in looking at pianos, and my mom would sit down at the piano and she'd say, "Listen, you know, this has a great sound, and she'd hit a button on that digital piano, and she'd begin to play these good gospel hymns that we love, and you'd see people light up, and you'd see them just glow as they listen to her play. And the thing in sales is you want to tell someone, you want to give them something that they can crave or desire to have in their own life. And so they would look and they would think, man, if I could have that music in my home, I could have that in my life. And she would let them know, now listen, if she would do her best. She's never trying to sell something someone didn't need, but she would sell piano after piano. In the early days, we set up in the middle of the mall, and it was a boundary of pianos, and I would slide under the piano to get in there. My mom would take care of people from the inside, and then there was a store that was acquired by the owner of the music store, and that's where she managed and worked, and she did an amazing, amazing job. But I look back, and I see those moments, not as my mom wanting to work that job, but as her doing what she had to do. And she did it well. We can find, again, through the scriptures, we can find people, but I want to focus today on the ladies, the women of the Bible that you find often the great, the strong, the dedicated. They were that way because they did what they had to do. They found a way. We find even in this text where this is what you would call maybe the recording, first recording of, we could say it this way, civil disobedience. Because Jochebed was not to have a child at this time. It was not something she was supposed to have. She was raising and rearing a child in the dark, hidden away for 3 months, while Pharaoh was taking the lives of children to wipe out a whole generation. Yet she was nurturing and loving, and when she had no choice any longer, there was no way she could hide this baby. She did what she had to do. I can only in my farthest imaginations and as distant as I could possibly even make it, I can only possibly try my best to understand, but yet I know I'm still far off of what it felt like to take that basket that was woven and grab it and trust that somehow things are going to be okay. I don't know if Jochebed could not stand the idea of knowing that he had passed, or she just said, I trust you, God, that something's going to work out. But we find that in this text, we find that the daughter of Pharaoh hears a cry. She receives him up, and Jochebed, doing all she knew to do, not knowing the outcome, she finds herself being called in to nurse a child, to nurse a baby that she had placed in the hands of God. A woman who had fear for 3 months, then relinquished that trust into the hands of God, now being called into the room to nurse a child, being told that if you'll take care of this child, that I'm going to pay you a wage, that I'm going to give you something you didn't have before. Let me just tell you right now what I gathered as we talked this morning to the mothers. What I gather when I listen to my wife talk about some of the pain that she's gone through. What I gather when I listen to my mother, when I listen to some of these great mothers. What I gather when I received updates from Lena as she would go back and forth and God's hand is upon that situation. And I'm still trusting God for a total and complete healing. But what I gather is there is a miracle that happens when you place what you don't understand and what you don't know in God's hands, and you say, I'm going to do everything I can do. I'm going to do all I can do, and I'm going to place this child in the current and in the trust of God, and I'm going to just believe. And when you do that, notice what took place here is that the Miriam called unto her, and she said, not only am I going to allow you to nurse your child and take care of your child, but I'm going to pay you a wage that you would not have before. Let me just tell you today, when you trust God, you'll get things you didn't have before, Mom. When you trust God in the pain, He's going to bless you with things that you didn't get before. I know it felt like a night. I know it felt like a valley. And I know it felt difficult. But if you didn't go through the night, then He would not have given you that vision you needed. I know it felt like a valley. But if He didn't get let you go through the valley, then you wouldn't have the strength that you have now. I know it felt like questions, but in the midst of questions, he wants to bring you answers that you would not have. The reality is that any time the Lord began to do a work, he started with a baby. And I prayed and believed for a child, and Samuel came. Samuel came on the scene. Samuel was also sent to the house of Jesse for another child that was there, and he called David unto the scene. We could go throughout the scripture, we could go throughout all of it, but we can also know that throughout scripture there was always a child that was called. Why? Because the Lord trusts mothers the most with the mission and the things that he desires to see in this world. He trusts, and I'm strongly feeling to preach this today. He trusts the love of a mother. He trusts the guidance of a mother. He trusts the judgment of a mother. He knows when I need something done in my kingdom, I've got to bring up a mother that can rear up and bring up a child. And I've got to get a mother that can pray through absence. I've got to get a mother who can pray through heartache. I've got to get a mother who can pray through disappointment. I've got to get a mother when things aren't good, she can get up and gather things up. I've got to get a mom when things are in question, she can say, I'm going to keep on singing. I need a mother that I can do a work in. And it's no different in this text. Jochebed had a son that was in danger, but she said, not today. I'm not falling to the decree of a nasty leader, but I will do all I can to ensure the stability will be there. And not just that. Not just that. But she received something that she would not have had before. She was given something that would not have been there before. There was a lady in Northwest Arkansas that was a new lady in the church there in Bentonville, and we were pastoring in Lowell. My wife and I were in Andy's not feeling good today. He's had a little flare up in his lungs the past few days, and so he went to lay down just a moment ago, but I can speak a little more freely when he's not in the room, but Indy's faced some things in his life. Indy's gone through some things. Right now, he's got medicine in his body that causes him to react, to be honest with you, in the ways that he doesn't want to react. He's got steroids. He's got other things. He takes his breathing treatments. He does his nebulizer today. He's done all those things. And so it's weighing on him a little bit. His cough keeps him up at night. He's not had good rest in a solid week. We've had him out of school because of it. We got to watch him closely. In the midst of all the questions that originally started, and I know I talk about this often, it's a big part of my life, especially watching my wife as a great, great mother. My wife would go in there and not leave his side. I had to go and work my job, take care of the kids, bring them home, get them changed, do all the things. She wasn't leaving Indy's side. I began to watch as questions would come and doctors would come and no answers were there. They, no offense to any people in the field of the medical world, but there were times when we felt as if the doctors just weren't listening to us. They weren't hearing us. We were telling them something, they would be dismissive and move on quickly, but yet we knew something was there. There was a reality that something was happening, and we needed some attention. We needed some focus on that very thing, and it's not always easy. It's not always something that we can make. It doesn't always make sense, but I watched as a certain nurse would come in and come out, and she'd come back in, and there was a glow about my wife while she was caring for my son, and she would watch over him, and we were doing all we needed to do. We knew to do. We didn't know how to go through this. We'd never gone through something like that before, but yet here we were in the midst of that. And later on, we find out this nurse had come in and gone out. She was attending the church down the road that our good friends pastored, and she was watching how my wife and I were responding to this. She was noticing mostly how my wife was through the questions and all the things and all the stuff that was going on. And I remember thinking to myself that, God, if we have to go through this for one soul to walk through those gates, then I've asked you to use us in any way. And shame on me if I prayed a hard prayer, but yet while she was there with questions, questions. We remain faithful. We remain to be somebody that was true to the word of God. Even in the midst of questions, we trusted the hand of the Lord. Even in the midst of trials, we knew that God could do it. Even when things weren't easy and I was by myself with my son in the hospital and she was there with him, I would preach healing from a pulpit while knowing my son needed healing. There was a miracle that was given to us in the midst of that great, great chapter of our lives that we still at times are fighting through. And the miracle that was given to us was a wage of peace in the midst of the storm. The miracle that was given to us was the wage of understanding when yet there's no understanding. How do you get there? You get there with trust. You get there with getting back up. And you get there with going on. And through that great lady, who is a sweet lady that's still in the church today, she watched and she took note and she was able to see firsthand not just a pulpit ministry, not just a platform ministry, but how the preaching that we would oftentimes give, how we live that out in our daily lives. I'll never forget what she said. I was so impressed how your wife was so trusting in the hand of God. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the questions, in the midst of all that was going on, what I want you to understand is that God used a baby's tears to control the heart of a powerful princess. He used Miriam's words to arrange for the baby's mother to raise the boy and get paid for it. What I want you to see right now is that many times when God needs something to happen, there's no weak babies in the world that the Lord desires to use. No, when he needs something to happen, when he needs something to happen, when he needs to accomplish a mighty work, if no one else is going to stand and no one else will rise up, if no one's going to fight the Philistine, he brings on a baby. He brings on a child. And he also understands that if there is going to be hope for that child, then that child must have a mother that's willing to pray, must have a mother that's willing to give, must have a mother that's willing to say, I trust you. And all that's going on, I trust the hand of God in my life, and it's no different right now. What I'm telling you today, and I'm hurrying to a close, what I'm telling you today is there's mothers here that you still have questions, but you're still here. There's mothers today that you have heartache, but you're still here. You've gone through some things, but you're still here. You've faced some things, but you're still here. You've gone through some deep, deep situations in your life, but you still worship. You've faced some hard trials, but you still come in and you give everything you've got. You've gone through some things, but you're still here. And I want to tell the Jochebeds, I want to tell you today that you don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. You feel as if you're packing up your child to lose your child, but I'm telling you, if you've trusted the hand of God in your life, and I may not just be talking about children right now, I'm talking about questions in life, and I'm talking about how it's all going to work out. I'm talking to the man that's walked in the room today, and you don't have the answer, but you've wrapped up something in a basket and you've placed it in the water. I'm just telling you that God can take what the world and what the enemy meant for evil, and he can use it for the good. He can not only bring you back together, but you're going to get paid for it in the end. You're going to receive wages you would not have had you not trusted him. Jochebed, if I could whisper in her ear before she gets to this place, this is the place where Miriam calls unto her and says, come. If I could get to Jochebed's ear and say, I know this seems crazy, because I often have to think about this, because we know the end of the story when we read the story. We read Jochebed and we think, oh, this is just going to be a short chapter in her life. No, this was a chapter all by itself in her life. If I could say, Jochebed, listen, I've read the end of this chapter and you're going to get to see this baby again. Just, I know it's difficult. Just wipe the tears back, Jochebed. Just pull the tears back. The basket's going to float and the baby's going to be guided down, and those tears are going to bring in this princess together, this baby here. And that princess isn't going to know what to do with this baby, so she's going to call unto you, and you're not only going to now, you're going to have a different life, but you're going to have this child that's going to be preserved, and not just preserved, but this child is going to lead your people out of bondage.
So Jacob, and I know you have questions here, but what I'm trying to tell you is that you're going to get here in a moment, but you've got to find a way to get back up right here. You've done all you could. You've trusted God. You didn't carelessly throw out everything in the wind. No, you're trusting God. Your hands, you've placed them in the hands of God. And so now you're going to see this, but you don't see that yet. I'll do the same thing. If I could whisper in the ear of my wife before we went to that doctor the first time, babe, I know this seems difficult, but I've seen the end of the story. I know we're still facing things in 2024, but God's hand is upon us. God's hand is upon us. God's hand is upon us. Here's the reality. Some of you are right now in the middle of placing everything you don't understand in the water. You're in the middle of not knowing how it's going to work out, but somewhere there's an angel saying, if you'll just trust, you'll trust. If you'll trust, there's something that's going to take place. We're going to work out something. You'll see. You'll see it's going to be okay. Some of you have walked away from the water. You've returned back to your quarters, so to speak, and you now are saying, God, please take care of my child. And the angel is saying, I've heard your prayers, and he heard your prayers. He's already dispatched me. I'm going to walk a princess down to the water and tell the princess, take care of that baby. Make that baby whole. Bring that baby in. We're going to let this baby live. What I'm saying is, some man has walked in this place today and you feel anxiety, you feel fear, you feel discouraged. Some man has come in. You don't know how to make it all work. And what I want to tell you is there's an end of the story you're not seeing yet. There's something that's going to take place. I feel in the Holy Ghost there's something that will happen in your life, but you've got to go ahead and trust God. You got to go ahead and say, God, I'm placing it in your hands. What I know today is there's a young person you're dealing with identity crisis. You're dealing with, will life will ever change? And you're placing something in a basket. You've got to put it in a basket. You've got to put it in the hands of God. You got to say, God, I can do nothing else, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And there is an end of the story you do not yet see. You don't see it yet, but God does. God takes Moses to another body of water later in his life. Moses' ministry really started in the water. In the acclaimed story that we find of Moses' life, where Moses had to learn to trust God as well, comes to a body of water where there was no hope, and everything he had walked away from was coming out to get him. And the Lord said, Moses, stretch forth your hand. Moses, just like the previous generation, probably had questions. I'm going to look like an idiot. I hope this works. Everyone's watching. This seems far-fetched. But okay, God. He stretched forth that rod and put his hand over that water. And I want to tell Moses in that moment, I want to say, Moses, I know that water's moving right now, but it's about to blow your mind, buddy. I wish I could be there when that water parted and that water, that ground was dry, and all the naysayers in the back, the naysayers who said we were better back then, the naysayers who said we were better before we did all this stuff, the naysayers said who at least we had what we wanted back then. I wish I could be there when they looked up and said, what just happened? Oh my gosh. He's delivered us. He's making a way. Get across, get across, get across, get across. I wish I could say, Moses, it's gonna blow your mind, but you gotta trust God. You gotta trust God. You gotta trust God. You cannot get there without trusting the hand of God and everybody in this room. I've come with a message, not just for the mothers, but I've come with a focus on mothers. But I've come to tell every person in this room, I know it can be difficult. I know life is tough. I know there's questions, but there's another side of your trust that you're not seeing the end yet. You're not seeing the full story yet, but there is a miracle coming in your life, but you've got to trust God. You've got to trust the hand of God. Would you clap your hands to Him right now? Come on with your heart. Would you tell Him, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you can't do anything else but seek out the Word of God in your life. Lena, I don't want to pick on you today, but my goodness, my heart has been heavy. There's been days where we've gotten texts back and there have been exclamation points and God's good. And all I can think is, I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I didn't have an answer myself. I didn't know it was going to happen myself, but I sought. I went down into the water and He heard and He answered. Tara W., I sought the Lord and He brought peace in my life. He calmed the storm. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. So all I know to do in this moment is say, God, I trust you. There's questions, but I trust you. There's hard times, but I trust you. There's difficulty, but I trust you. And God, I'm asking right now, let the tears of a baby, let the tears from afar work on the heart that's going to make it all work. It's all going to come together. But I've got to trust you. In Jesus' name. It's all right, everybody. Stay with me just for a moment. If you feel it in this place right now, you feel challenged. You feel moved in any way whatsoever, I'm going to open this altar up for a moment right now. And I'm going to ask you, would you step out from where you are and say, God, I don't care if you're a lady or a man. Would you say, God, I trust you. I trust your word. I trust your word today. God, I'm asking you, help us, Lord. Jesus, in your name. Jesus, in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.